Church, we need to know what does the Bible say. But before I say that again, which I've said over and over again, I want to give you again what is the heart of Scripture. Would you please put up, Pat, the heart of Scripture from John 3, verses 16 and 17, and I'd like you to read this with me out loud, please. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. How many of you know that nothing that the world does shuts down the job of the church? We have a big job, church. We have a big job to reach this world for Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And we get to love Him and share the good news of Jesus. People all around us need Him desperately. So we're going to continue to join with millions of Christians with the heart of our Father and preach His Word and teach His Word. Now, we need to understand, and again, I'm not going to preach all day. We've got a great preacher here with us this morning. Welcome back, Chris. Great to see you, by the way. Dr. Chris Lodovic is going to be bringing our message this morning. And the Bransons are here from Christ the Rock Fellowship. Welcome, folks. And we have returned. Pastor Sherry, would you join me up here for a moment, please? Okay, that's long. No, I'm not. Come on up. We went to the Fellowship of Churches and Ministers International Conference in Pullman the last several days. Had a fantastic time. So we want to talk about that for just a moment. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We kidnapped these people to come back with us. And we'll tell you more about all the things that have been done by these precious people. And the Lord has used them in wonderful ways. We have a great thing to do this morning. But before we get there, we have some business to do as a congregation as well. And that is, we understand, the book of Genesis tells us that marriage is between one man and one woman. And no Supreme Court can change the law of God. That's what the Bible says. Without shame, in love, we will continue to stand for the truth. Now, we may say things, or the earth or the world may say things. Churches might begin to go through some fire. Church, we shouldn't be surprised that we are in a post-Christian culture where the lot of people don't even go to church. A lot of people don't know the Bible stories. They don't know the morality of the Word of God and the plumb line of God. How many know you've got to have some basis of truth by which to live? The Word of God is that which tells us how to live, what's right and wrong. But you kick out the Bible, guess what you have left? Oh, whatever I think, whatever's my truth and your truth. But what's most important is what is His truth. His truth according to the Word. We love everybody. So what I'm here to say this morning is not a message of no love. We love everybody. God so loved that He gave. But we love them enough to not be ashamed to tell them the truth. We're not going to walk around with heads hung down. We're not going to walk around embarrassed. We can be grieved. We can be praying. Nehemiah prayed. Ezra prayed. Daniel prayed. All through the Scriptures, they prayed in the New Testament. And guess what? We're going to join them and keep praying, aren't we? We're going to pray for revival in our country. But don't be surprised. Darkness must get darker so the light can get lighter. Now, this morning, we're also going to do something very special. I'm going to ask you to hang in there with us because every year at this time, we join in with millions of Americans around this nation for what's called Call to Fall. There was, in 1775, a clarion call at the earliest stages of development of our country for people to pray, to repent on behalf of our country as a fledgling nation, and to pray that God would intervene. I believe our country has been blessed because of doing so. The last several years, there's been a movement called Call to Fall. And those of you who can join us in kneeling in prayer, we're going to do that. We're going to spend a few minutes. And how many know God's not offended by our prayers? I hope you're not, right? So we need to keep praying, and we need to pray as a congregation. We're going to do that this morning. Then we're going to worship. We're going to have a great time. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have the richness of the Word of God preached and taught. And you need to know that we're excited about Jesus, and no matter what any Supreme Court does, doesn't change that. Turn to each other, punch each other, and say, that's good preaching.
That's good preaching.
Yep. Now, we want to share something fun and great with you, and if I could reach you, I would have you use that. So we had a great time at the conference, and Vern and Pat came with us, and these three were there, and you were with us in heart. And we thank you for your prayers. And so the Fellowship of Churches and Ministers International was started 50 years ago by Gordon Lindsay, who started Christ for the Nations. And this is a gathering and a networking of pastors and ministers all around the world, really, who come under the banner of loving the Lord Jesus with all their hearts, loving the Bible and the Holy Spirit being real and active in our lives, and then a networking together because we need to stand together in fellowship before the Lord. So that's what this is about. There's a regional conference that we do, and then an international conference. And I have the privilege of being an international board member and the secretary of the Northwest region. That's the biggest region. And it's the biggest region. It covers Wyoming and Montana and Idaho. And the reason it's the biggest region is because we're the hardest region to reach, and there aren't as many Christians as back east. So we got a big job to do. But we have a praise report that comes from that. My praise report is I got to go to that conference with the prettiest lady at the party.
You're sweet. We are excited because we have the great privilege of hosting this conference next year. Wow! And we're going to do it, and we're going to do it well. And with God's breath on it, we're going to have a fun time in fellowship. It is this conference, this coming together of ministers, the main thing is for fellowship, to support, love one another, and we don't just sit and listen to messages all day, but it's so we might support one another in fellowship and friendship. And so be thinking of some ideas to give me, like maybe whale watching, hikes that you know, fun places to hike.
That 50, 60 pastors can go to and enjoy it.
There's always golf. So, Dean and Ellen, I'm trusting you that the two of you are going to help and be chairman of the golfing committee together. See,
Penny,
you're going to be hospitality
Kevin won't be
for sure. So, anyway, we've got lots of places to fill, so we've got a whole year to plan it, and it's going to really, really be fun. Pat's going to be right at my side because she was there and she saw what happens at the conference.
And you all will be able to come to all the night services, so it'll be a fantastic time together.
Absolutely. So anyway, we're looking forward to a good time of fellowship, and Chris, you're coming back, aren't you? Amen!
Bringing his whole family from South Africa just in for the conference.
It's the privilege, we had of meeting Chris and getting to know him at the conferences that gave us this terrific bond of love with him and his family, too, as we've met with his daughter and his son-in-law. There were three or four of them over there. I can't remember. Yeah, right.
The Michael W. Smith of South Africa is how they call it.
Anyway.
He is a professional musician and wonderful worshiper.
Join with us in joy as we celebrate together next year. And we're doing it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. What we're going to do, if you'll bear with us, we're going to spend several minutes in prayer together. I've got quite a responsive prayer. I'll say a part and ask you to respond back. I'll ask those of you who can to kneel with us. We're not ashamed to kneel in prayer. We believe God is a great God who hears those prayers. Remember, what does 2 Chronicles 7:14 say? If my people will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, I'll hear from heaven, hear their prayers, and heal their land. Billy Graham said, when ancient Israel turned against God, the prophets warned that God's judgment would eventually come upon them, and it did. But God also warned that the surrounding nations would be judged too, because they had no regard for God, and they were. Sometimes, Billy Graham said, it happens in one great catastrophe. Sometimes it happens in a series of smaller disasters and defeats, but it happens. We can change the course of events if we go to our knees and believe in prayer. He said this, to get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. His son Franklin Graham said, we need another great awakening, a fresh revival that puts us on our knees, brings us to repentance for our sins, and turns our hearts back again to worship and obey God. There's no other way for America to be great again. You can go to call to fall, the digit two, call to fall, all one word, and it will bring up their website, and you can sign a pledge of prayer, continued prayer for our country. And I believe, as your pastor, that this is what we should do here today. So those of you who can, we're going to take the next several minutes if you go to your knees with me, and let's pray together. First of all, Father, we thank you that you are God and greatly to be praised, that you recognize, Lord, the prayers of your people in this place. It's not just uniquely an American prayer, but today, those of us who are raised here, born here, citizens here, cry out to you for our land. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bring healing, supernatural healing, to our nation. Now, Pat, there's a series of transparencies right there on that side. I think it's on the, there you go, right there. Yeah. Thank you. Says this one says, I will answer God's call to fall on my knees in humility and seek his face in repentance so that I might forgive my sins and heal our land. So we're going to do a responsive prayer. You may need to turn yourself around so you can read the congregational part. And Vern, if you would go ahead and grab, just shut off the lights during this time, that would be great. Thank you so much. This is a general prayer of repentance that we're bringing before our Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever, and your faithfulness to all generations. Congregation. Lord, today we unite with fellow Christians across America from many denominations and backgrounds, falling to our knees before you, asking you to help us humble ourselves not only today, but every day. We've been a proud and arrogant people and nation. You've blessed us, but we've taken your blessing for granted. We have forgotten you, forsaken you, the spring of living water, and we have chosen to love the world and the things of the world. And as your people, forgive us, Lord. You call us to be a light, to live holy lives, to walk in Christian love and carry you and your gospel to the nations. You command us to bring up our children in your way, but we haven't, and our youth are leaving the faith. Jesus, too often we've been complacent, apathetic, lazy, disobedient, and unfaithful to your call. Instead of changing the world has changed us. We fail to be the salt of the earth, to lift you up, to be the light of the world. Our forefathers, with their love and devotion to the children, to future generations, sacrificed their lives for us. Yet we've become the me generation. Forgive us, Lord. Now our nation's under judgment. Natural disasters, war, some other nations hate us. International terrorists have penetrated our borders. We have economic collapse and turmoil. Preachers and politicians are seen for acts of corruption and immorality. Our jails and prisons are filled to overflowing. Our adults and children are enslaved by sin, sex, drugs, alcohol. Abortion and sexual immorality have become protected rights. Evil is called good and good is called evil. We've allowed man now to define marriage instead of you. For the lust, the division, the murder of our young, Lord, we cry out to you today.
hear our cry. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Lord, heal our land. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Revive your churches and our nation, we pray. Set our pulpits aflame with righteousness. Purge compromise from our pews and cause your word to go forth to every city and town in America. We return wholly to you. Return, Lord, to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, by faith, we receive your mercy, your forgiveness, and your new day for America. Amen and amen. You may stand. Stand with me, would you, church? I started to tell the story in 1775 when things were going with great difficulty in the establishing of our nation. They called for repentance and prayer to take place. 3 million in those early colonies, and that's a huge number for those days, gathered together the same time, the same day, and knelt before God in prayer. We've just joined in with hundreds of thousands and millions of other believers across this nation to seek God on our behalf of our nation. How many believe our God hears prayer? Amen. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
God is good.